Tonight we are really blessed to just introduce Jacinta and JJ Eras. Julle kan sommer opstaan. Ek kan die mense sommer sien maak. Yeah. Just welcome them. Amen. Jacinta and JJ. JJ, we actually found out on Friday that we actually went to the same school. We had a big school and Yanni was in the same school as well. Anyway, but we went to the same school in the East Rand in Kempton Park in Johannesburg, and Jacinta also comes from Johannesburg, and we're just introducing them tonight. It's the first time that they came to visit the church, but we trusted that we might see a lot of them in the future. We're hoping so. And I'm going to just leave JJ to just introduce herself better. I can say what you've done in ministry and in sport and school. And not everything, because he wasn't always a good boy. Okay, and Jesus saved him. But I'd like you just to introduce yourself, and I know that that's what you want to do tonight as well. Thank you.
Cool. Okay. Thank you, Ross. Guys, good evening. Yeah, yes, like boys, come on. Hello, I'm so student. Hello. Oh, so. Guys, it's good being here with you, and thank you for the opportunity to come and share our hearts and, just what Jesus has done. As Ross has introduced, this is my wife, Jacinta. We've been married this year 15 years. And she's really an iron lady, so. And then we've also got two little boys, or not two little boys, about that size. The one is 13 and the other one is 10. The 13-year-old, his name is Tristan, and the 10-year-old is Joshua. All right, but hopefully you guys will see them soon. What else would you like to say something?
All I know, three Kempton Park boys here is dangerous. Very dangerous.
I must say, if we bring the East Rand, yeah, so it's crazy, guys. All right. Awesome. Great. Guys, can we just pray? Father, we come before you in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we just humble ourselves. And Lord, it is so awesome to be in your presence. It is so great, Lord, just to be with fellow brothers and sisters, just to be able, Lord, to share the goodness of God in our lives. And Father, this evening, do I pray that every word that I will speak, Lord, will bring honor and glory unto your name. Lord, that there will be no flesh. And Lord, that everything that I will say will be done in spirit and in truth, bringing you all the glory and all the honor, King Jesus. Father, there where there are mindsets here that need to be broken. Father, here where there are people in chains and bondage. Lord, whatever, you know their hearts, Lord, you know their situations. Father, we pray and we ask of you this evening that by your Spirit, you will bring liberty and that there will be life, life abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Yeah, as Ross said, I do come from Kempton Park. We went exactly to the same school. And like he also said, you know, I was a good boy, you know, these guys that go to school. And if I move in front of the speakers, are they going to go, tweet? All right, good, I heard that one. All right, so I'll stand here. You know what? You know, it's. I was a good boy. You know, I was the deputy head boy of sports or of culture or something like that. And why? I think it was culture. Why culture? I don't. Listen, how much time do I have? 5 hours. Fabulous. Did you all bring your coffee and cookies and stuff? Listen, when I get going, I really do talk. All right, I do talk a lot, and it's just because I love Jesus. I promise you. All right, and I love interaction. So if you guys are going to look at me, I'm going to start looking. I'll pull up a chair. I'll just check you out. All right. Awesome. All right, I'm 38 years old. No, I'm not. I'm 37, turning 37 this year. At the age of 11 years, I met Jesus for the first time in an NGO church in Edleen, under the music ministry of Jan de Wet. And I gave my life to Jesus. And of course, you know, with no discipling and with parents in and out of church, you know, you don't actually get involved in church. So when I got to high school, I knew Jesus. It was more religious thing than anything else. But got a a sports bursary to go and study at UJ, and I started teaching. And I can promise you this. I think that that the kids can say thank you, Lord, that he's not a teacher, because I'm very strict. All right, it's a black and white, and that's how it is. There's no gray areas. Look, there's a lot of grace, but you can just ask my children. All right, when I walk past, they go, "Yes, sir." No, I'm just joking. I'm joking. In any case, so where was I? Where? UJ. I'm just checking if you guys are following me. All right, that's awesome. All right, so I've got a sports bursary for rugby. Great rugby career in front of me. Went to UJ, started playing, played under 19 Transvaal, under 21 Transvaal, did my thing there. And actually, it's exactly in the position where you guys are now. You know, you guys have got a great future in front of you. I gather this is a medical, the medical department, or I don't know, what do you call this, the medical faculty. So you're all clever people, man. Awesome stuff. Yes, I feel quite intimidated, yeah. But it's all cool. So, I started going out with the wrong lady, and I started getting involved with the wrong guys. Made some stupid decisions and started stealing. Got involved with gambling, became a gambaholic, started stealing from my parents. Started drinking. I became an alcoholic at the age of 19. And then I also got involved with pornography, and I got addicted to pornography. So around about by the age of 20, I was an alky, I was hooked to pornography, and I was hooked on gambling. Now, men, you guys would, well, I know, I won't say all of you, but some of you might just associate with that, you know, because everything is, it's in our face. You know, up there in Gauteng, where we come from, Teasers has got all these big billboards going on. You know, it's www.sextrader and this and that, and you can just call this and you can call that, and it's, you know, it's a touch of a cell phone at the dial. You know, you can do whatever you want to do, and you know, even if you go on your cell phone today, when you go and look for games for your children, and you scroll down far enough, guess what you get? You get a half-naked lady there. All right. And these things are in our faces continually. And ladies, with you as well. You know, there's it might not just be out there, but you know what? You look at all the adverts, and if you look at all the things that are out there, you know, we are actually being conditioned in such a way by the world just to say, well, you know what? That's all cool. You know, it's all acceptable. And when we're in that trap, man, I'm telling you, that's hard to get out of there. It's really hard to get out of there. But any case, so porn, gambling, and all these things, started stealing from my parents, and started fighting. You know, this lady that I had, I couldn't trust her, and huge issues, and started fighting, and started using my fists, and I wasn't a very pleasant boy at varsity. And then, of course, the dean came and asked me to please leave. And so I had to leave varsity, and after a while they said, look, you can come back. And my parents said, great, you know what, please go finish your degree. And of course, I've had 3 years of living on my own in dorms. And trust me, to go back again to your mom's house or to your dad's house and to go and study from there, it's not going to work. So I said, no, wait, I'll go and work. So any case, in the interim, still stealing, still gambling, still drinking, still doing whatever I had to do. And you know what? Just thinking about that, I've got a big problem with my name here in the Cape. A huge problem. So you guys must please just help me in getting a new name for myself. As you would know, my name is JJ. And my wife and myself, about last week, yeah, it was about a week ago, we went into a shop, and she looked at me, and I was on the other side of the shop, and she said to me, hey, Jay. And unfortunately, there was a beautiful colored lady standing right next to my wife, and she says, yeah, madam, who can I help? So I met a couple of these guys. So, of course, this whole shop, you know, everybody in the shop started laughing. And then she said, no, I'm not talking to Jay. I'm talking to Jay, my husband. So So please, man, geez. And you know, and the other thing is my real name is Josephus. You see, we're from Dutch descent. So Josephus, in the Bible, you get Josephus. You know them, the historian. So in Afrikaans, they call me Josephus. That sounds like one huge fish. So it ain't going to work. So please. So you know what? My friend Mac, he said to me, it's Josef. I don't know, man. That just doesn't sound great. And all the guys that I met with yesterday, they says JJ and JJ and yeah, and I don't know. So please, man, I feel quite lost here at the moment. But in any case, let's get back to our story, or my testimony. So here was I. You see, you're not listening, bud. Yeah. Okay, you're praying. I understand. You're praying. Thank you. He's interceding for me. All right. Thank you. Hey, this is a spiritual church. I love you, Ax. Any case. thank you. No, I didn't go back to varsity. I started working. All right. So I started working, still stealing, still doing all that I had to do. And then one evening, we went out to a great venue. That time was called 70s Nightclub. And this is where I met my wife, Jacinta. And Jacinta was Catholic. And she was divorced before. And so I met her in this place. Now, man, I'm telling you, I went there with a friend. And she went there with a friend. And they, of course, were in each other's faces the whole time. You know how two lovebirds are. You know, they can't breathe. So they need to breathe for each other. All right. So any case, I walked up to her and I said to her, listen, can I buy you a drink? And man, I don't know. You know, I'm a good looking guy, man. I think so. And she said, no. Yes. And I thought to myself, are you guys late? I now need to start all over again. Okay. All right. Is there anybody else coming? Okay, cool. Sorry, I just need to ask. Any case. So, yeah, man, every morning when I look into the mirror, I think I'm handsome. So any case, she just looked at me and she said to me, JJ? No, she didn't know me. She said to me, sorry, sir, I don't want you to buy me a drink. Thank you. I don't want you to buy me a drink. So I left her. I'm a gentleman. So I left her alone and I went around and still danced, but I'm checking out in the corner of my eye. It's gorgeous, like a lady. And I went up to her again and said to her, listen, now this is a real, where's my friend? Do you know where he is? No, I don't know where he is. I was like, can I buy you another drink? Or can I buy you a drink? She said, no, I don't want your drink. And he goes, 8 times, man. 8 times. Can't believe it. Hey? But now, I know why. Because 8 is a godly number. Did you know that? It's fullness, bro. Come on, man. Jeez. Are you still praying? Okay. Any case. So that's a godly number. So she said to me, yes. At number 8. I said to her, I don't have any money, but hang on. Wow, man, yesterday. How does it work? You know, normally when women say yes to a guy, he doesn't have money, so now you need to make a plan. So I said to her, hang on. And I think, at that time, I think the F&B or the ATM, it was maybe about 5 or 6 kilometers away. I'm telling you, I did it in like 2.2 seconds, I promise you that. I was there and I was back and I had money. All right. Can I quickly drink some water? So I was back. And I said to her, would you like a drink? And she said, yes. Hey, and I'm telling you. And from that day onwards, Jacinta and myself got on like a house of fire. We born on the same day. 8th, 6th of August. She's 72 and I'm 76. So she likes them older. Younger, and I like them older. And I keep her young. That's why she looks so beautiful. Oh, thank you so much. Hey, kijk je naar mijn vrouw? Bas Ros. Wat gaan hier aan? Okay, check your net out. Any case. So I just said to myself, we started dating. Kijk, Sintu. Get your eye, vrou. So we started dating. And about 6 months down the line, I got engaged to her. But in this time, what happened was, is I lived a double life. She saw the nice guy. The guy that you see now. All right, thank you, Jesus. But she saw the nice guy. And the charming guy. But she didn't see the guy behind the scenes. The real JoJo. The guy who fought. The guy who drank. The guy who watched porn. The guy who went gambling. The guy who was stealing. And doing all sorts of stuff. 6 months down the line, we got engaged. That was in August. Now I've got to do maths. September, October, November, December. 4 months later, on the 19th of December, we got married. And man, I'm telling you, Saiva Smurflif, she was just head over heels in love with me. Well, it can't be, but any case. And she said yes. And man, I'm telling you, on our own wedding day, or the day before that, when they got the hall ready and all the stuff, and I wasn't there. I was gambling. She was working. That's how you need to marry them. All right, guys. They need to work. You go home. You go do what you do. You sit and you put on your TV. Never do that. Never do that. Sis, JoJo, keep quiet. Any case. That's my other JoJo speaking now. All right. That's okay. I'm chill. Any case. So Jacinta did everything. My parents and everybody did everything. We got married that day. And then we went overseas for a year. We actually had a 2-year visa to go and work and to build ourselves up and to enjoy each other and to build a future and all these things. And about a year into that, we had to come back because then Jacinta was pregnant with our first boy, Tristan, who looks very much like his dad. There's nothing of my wife and my two boys. So they're very handsome. My wife's sexy. They're handsome. All right. So, Tristan, we came home and Tristan was born. And, as soon as we arrived, my parents gave me a business. My parents are amazing. Really. They are amazing. In the time period, since I was at varsity to when I met Jacinta, or just before or when we left to go to the UK, my parents are the best parents in the world. My dad is a very secure man, always worked. We never lacked anything, and my mom was just a loving, gracious lady, really. They lost my sister at the age of 22 months. Said to them that they would never be able to bear any children. And of course, 7 years down the line, here pops me out. All right, so you must understand, they are extremely, extremely in love with me. So if they ever come down here, be nice to me, because you don't want to meet my mom. You guys are laughing. Any case, so I had great parents, but I hated them. I don't know. I hated them. I'm coming to my preach. This is just all introduction. All right. That's why I said 5 hours. So we came back. My dad gave me his business. He gave me a house. They bought us a house. They bought us cars. Man, and we were set. And of course, we started making money. And then we bought a business. I bought a nightclub. And then I became a nightclub owner. Man, oh man, oh man. And we really thought that we would become the very first nightclub owners that will not make money, blood money, that will, you know, that will run this thing properly. And so we bought this thing and we started trading. We had ladies' nights. There was a guy that made eyes with, you know, he said, looked at my wife and I said to him, come here, sorted him out, told my wife, naughty girl, go home. You're not allowed back in the business. This is now mine. And I stopped the ladies' nights as well because you don't do that stuff. All right. So It's just amazing how the devil orchestrates all these things. You must understand this. In any case, so Jacinta was at home. I had the business and we started doing business. And within 2 weeks, this business just ran flat. Two big men come in. Heavies. I said to him, sir, if you want your business to work, sell drugs. No, bud, I don't want it. I don't want blood on my hands, thank you. Sir? So I said, look, give me your telephone number. If I need your services, I'll give you a call. Great. So in any case, they left their telephone number there. And about a week, 2 weeks down the line as well, no business, started phoning them. I said, guys, is that offer still going? Yes, I phoned, great, please come. Within a week, that place was pumping. Man, I'm telling you, all the guys were dancing. Now, I'm sure a lot of you... No, I can't say sure. And please, don't show who goes to nightclubs here, okay? Because afterwards, we will pray for you. Any case, so this nightclub was full. And all these guys were just popping all these ecstasy tablets and hallucination drugs and cocaine and cat and all these things. And man, in the beginning, we made money on the booze. And suddenly, the booze bill just started going down. The revenue slowed down. And I was thinking, what the heck is going on here? So as I'm looking at these boys, I'm thinking to myself, now you must understand, I was brought up in a good, solid home. My mom said to me, JJ, you must not have sex before you are married. JJ, you're not allowed to have drugs. I was exposed to all these things. She would take me to talks about drugs and Satanism and paganism and all these things. So I was well aware. So I thought to myself, how can I make this thing work? I decided to take my first ecstasy tablet that evening. Man, and I'm telling you that thing kicked me. That thing took me to a different planet. And it was an amazing feeling. And I'm not going to lie to you. And I started building my business around that. Why? Because I had to understand the way these guys think, the way they feel. So when you're on ecstasy, you respond to heat and you respond to cold. When it's hot, you rush. When you're cold, you come down. So what we did is we started putting in a couple of fluorescent tubes and stuff, and we said bean bags, and we started playing around with the air cons. And because the booze bill started, or the revenue on the booze started going down, what did we do is we also closed the taps downstairs, and we didn't have any water jars, and we started putting in Volpria water. So now you need to buy water from us. And that's what we started doing. So now I'm not only stealing money, I'm not only addicted to pornography, I'm not only addicted to gambling, but now I'm also addicted to drugs. I started off with ecstasy, and then it went over to LSD, and LSD and ecstasy, then it went over into cat, then it went over into cocaine, and then it went just over into everything that I could get my hands on, and anything I could put it through my nose. The only thing that I didn't do is I didn't mainline heroin. And today I say thank you, Lord, for that. Because I don't know if you know that there's still only, the ratio is 1% of all heroin addicts that make it. 1%. That come out. So in any case, so here I am, addicted to drugs. Suddenly my wife leaves me. Why? Because now I'm involved with angels. And these aren't God's angels. These are called the hell's angels, literally the bikers. And I'm in business with one guy, because what happened is that the nightclub side of it died down. The business wasn't coming in. The electrical company that we had, that also started running flat, and we started losing money. So I went into business with this guy. So what we would do is we would buy cocaine, clean coke, and we'll cut it up. And what we'll do is we'll bag it, and then we'll go, we'll get ourselves some runners or some pushers or some mules or whatever you want to call them. And what we'll do is we'll put them into all the nightclubs. And this is how we started building revenue. And in the meantime, we will also sniff and we'll do what we need to do and we'll hit and hurt people. But this is the type of industry that we got, that I got myself involved in. So I was on drugs 7 days a week, 24 hours, 7 days a week. My wife left me. She didn't divorce me. She left me. She went to her sister's. And in the interim, the cops raided our house. Many hits on my life. The lifestyle of a drug addict, and if you want to call it a drug lord, I just don't like that word, drug lord. Just rather say the underground movement. That lifestyle is not a lifestyle to be associated with. It's a tough place. You know, it's only the toughest that survive in there. Because you've got Nigerians, you've got the Pakistanis, you've got the triads, you've got bouncing groups, you've got the angels, you've got all these guys that just want to take you out, and it's all just because of territory. So you need to understand that every day, every evening, when you get involved, when you start getting high, you know, you get paranoid, man. And every cricket that says crick, 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 you're at the blind checking out who's there, who's not there, and who wants to shoot me, and who doesn't want to blow me up, and all sorts of stuff. It's not a lifestyle. And when you go out into the nightclubs and when you go and walk around, you know, your chest is out there, you are untouchable. I'm telling you, you are untouchable. So this is the lifestyle that I live for a year and a half. And at that time, my mom and my dad and Jacinta was praying for me and pleading with the Lord to please bring me out. So you know when they say yes, a gebedsak? Ek is 'n gebedsak gewees. All right, I was a prayer case. And they cried out to the Lord and their fervent prayers went up. And one afternoon, or one morning, we were sitting in the south of Joburg. We were doing a drug pickup. Now, you must understand, I blasphemed God. I don't want anything to do with him. He was nowhere in my vocab. The only vocab I had to him was, get away from me. All right? And we were doing this drug pickup in the south of Joburg. And I looked at this partner of mine, and I said to him, "Bud, don't you think that what we're doing are wrong on the side of God?" And he pulls out a knife. Now, you know Dundee, Crocodile Dundee's knife. that's his small little cousin. He pulled out this long knife, this huge knife, and he put it to my throat. And he said to me, "If you ever say that again, I will slit, or I will cut off your neck, or your head from your shoulders, or whatever." And all the way back down to Sunwood Park, I'm thinking to myself, where the heck did that come from? I don't want anything to do with God. Where did this come from? Meanwhile, a church in Kempton Park in Maranatha, to the late Derek Stone, that morning early, my mom went to this church and said, "Please, Pastor, pray for my son because we need him back." And they stood up as a congregation. And that morning, they prayed. And they said, "Lord, bring JJ back into the kingdom." Man, and I'm telling you, I was almost not in the kingdom. Oh, I was almost in the kingdom. Ah, any case, with that knife around my throat, but any case. Well, not in the kingdom, maybe down there at that time, but so be it. Thank you, Lord. So they prayed for me. And all that I can say is, you know, when you look at a bath, when you start running the water out of a bath, that little vortex that it creates, that was the time where this whole pulling out of this miry, drug-infested hellhole, how God started pulling me out of it because of prayer. So to those who are praying for people, prayer works. Prayer does work because I'm living proof of it. And am I boring you? Can I sit down? No, I'm just joking. All right. All right. So you're just like so encaptured by what I'm saying. Is that so? Why are you sleeping, sir, man? No, I'm just joking. He's not sleeping. All right. Any case, let me just drink some water. So from that day on, I went visiting. I visit my parents' place. Jacinta then was also pregnant with our second boy, Joshua. And man, I really felt for my, you know, even still today when I look at my wife, and I'm telling you, my heart breaks, man. She's a lady, man. She's like a real iron lady. She's really the pillar of my life. And she was pregnant with Joshua. She gave birth to him. And I was high. I can't remember much. So I missed out on my kids. Like little Nathan's size, I missed out on both my kids. Today, where I want a child, I can't have a child. Why? Because my wife, now listen to this. All right, I'll get to my story. My wife frauded my signature. Can you believe that? To get a tube stied, man. Can't believe it. So I'm still living in unforgiveness somewhere along the line because I'm telling you this. All right, so please pray for me. Any case, don't worry, babe. Any case. So, yeah, sheesh. So I said to her, listen, let's adopt. No ways. Any case, so I don't know. So now I need to wait for Josh and Tristan. That's going to be a long time. So I missed out. I missed out on 5 years of my oldest son, and I missed out on 3 years of my youngest son. And I'm telling you, this had such a great effect and such a great impact. It's actually a negative impact on my relationship with my two boys. And it's crazy. It really is crazy. But God is good because God's restored that. God has restored my relationship with my eldest and with my youngest. And I'm telling you, and it's just so amazing. So Jacinta was pregnant, still not coming home. They found lots of drugs. They suspected that I was on drugs, and they suspected all sorts of stuff. And so they got a whole bag of cocaine, and they got a roll of notes in the car, and they wanted to flush it down the toilets, and I'm on my knees, please don't do it. And so they didn't, because I'm still here. And so they chased me out of the house, said to me, never come back. So she left me. She never divorced. She left me again, gone with the wind. And then I started visiting my parents after a while. Came back and sitting outside on the stoop or on the veranda, looking in, I saw warmth and I saw love. And I saw the family speaking to each other and loving each other. And I thought to myself, geez, you know what? I miss this, man. I want this. There's something. There's a warmth inside this which I don't have. And then I'll be thinking, if I'm going back home, if I'm going to take drugs again, if I'm going to go to the nightclubs, if I'm going to do this, if I'm, you know, there's just too much tension here. It's not in me. I'm not that type of person. In any case, this happened for about 3, 4, 5 months. And then one evening, I just stood up and I said to my parents after many times, I said to them, guys, it's time. And they were chatting and da-da-da-da-da. I said, guys, it's time. Yeah, whatever. And they were going on. And I said, Mom, Dad, it's time. I want to come home. I said, you know what? What I'll do is I'll go. We can go and get the clothes. We can go and lock the house. We can go and do whatever now. You need to understand at this point of time, I've lost my businesses. I've lost everything except for my house. And they're wanting to repossess their house as well. And my hygiene was completely out of the window. And when they heard me saying, I want to come home after the 10th time, they climbed into the car, we went, we got my clothes, and we came home. Now at that time, like I said, my parents and everybody was praying for myself. And the very next morning, this is how my mom works, all right. Says Fanach. Telling you, give her a gap, she's in there. So here I'm home. And she walks up to me and she wakes me up and she says to me, there's a pastor to see you. I agree. There's a pastor to see you. You better come to the room. I said, oh, for heaven's sakes, Mom, I don't want to know your Jesus. All right. I was speaking fluent Hebrew, French, Greek that morning. So said to her, no thanks, I'm not interested. In any case, second time, third time, fourth time. And most of you guys, I know men, you will tend to or not agree with me on this because you've got some ego, yeah? But when your mom comes in for the fourth time and she says to you, Jan, then you know, oh, chona. All right, mom, I'll get up and I'll stand up. Yes, mom, what do you want me to do? And even then I stood up and I said, okay, what do you want me to do? So she says, so I went. So in any case, so there sits this pastor. And this pastor sits. Now you must understand, it's now the first time that I'm coming down. I'm crash landing. It's the first time I haven't used drugs. So I'm not feeling lekker. Not feeling good. So there sits this guy. And I'm sure most of you know Mac from Stellenbosch. He's a pastor there, Macadamy. I think his wife Nordine preached, not here, but she preached, yeah, she preached in Tigerberg this morning. Okay, the Tiger. I'm sorry, sir. The Tiger. All right, he looks like a cross man, this guy. You look like a principal, sir. But don't worry, I do know what he does, so don't worry, I'm just pulling his leg. Any case. So, kan ek aangaan, meneer? Okay. So yes, it's Mac. And he says to me, hello, Buddha. So yeah, says, ek wil vir jou kom vertel van Jesus. I said, no, hang on. Stop the bus. I'm not interested in Jesus, thank you. I think all you Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. And I still think it today. Christians are hypocrites. I'm telling you. And he says, well, what do you mean? I said, you know what? You guys, on a Sunday, you go to church. And you raise your hands and you speak in funny languages and you praise Jesus. And then on a Monday, you come and you sleep with your neighbor's wife. On the Tuesday, you kill your budgie and you speak Hebrew and French. On the Wednesday, I don't know what they do on Wednesdays, but on Thursdays, they live just ungodly lives. I said, how can it be? How can it be that you can go to a church and then throughout the week you do what you want to do? You're not a great testimony into the world and then you go and then you stand in church and you say, holy, holy, holy. I said, but I'm not interested in that, thank you. So I said, sure, you're right. Hey, now you must understand. Now my chest is out. I've just told this pastor, hey, bud. And he says, yes, so now you know. Any case, so... That guy. What's your name, sir? Yeah. Wie? Pietri. Jy het 'n groot borskas. So, ek het nie gesê maag nie. Ek het gesê borskas. Okay. Any case. So what happened was, he says, you know what? You're right. Christians are hypocrites. He says, but you know what? You have observed something that you can go and make right. And you can go to church and you can go and live it out and you can go and show them what they are doing wrong. You know what? That made so much sense that actually I didn't have any comeback there. So guess what? I had to go to church. And even today when I sit with kids, and when I sit with young adults, when I sit with adults, when I sit with people saying, you know what, you Christians are a bunch of hypocrites, I also go, yeah, you're right. But now because you see it, just think, you can go and live the right Christian life, the one that walks righteous before God, this holy life, this ambassador, this salt. You can go and live it, you can go and change the church. You can go and change, you can buy your life, you can go and make a difference. And it works. So... that I thought it was one for JJ, zero for Mac. But no. It was one for Mac, zero for JJ after that one. So I said, well, answer me questions. Ask me questions. Now, please, all right? Now that I have got some understanding of what the Word of God says, okay, to be continued. I'm not going to get through everything. Sheesh, today. Holy smokes, Lord help us. All right. So yeah, Max says, and he says, okay, answer me a quick couple of questions. So I say to Mac, all right, Mac, three questions, then I'll give my life to Jesus. Of course, tongue in cheek. I don't want to know anything about Jesus. I just want to get this big guy out of my house. So I said, okay, first question. If God, or if man evolved, then God must have been a baboon. So he looked at me, and I said, God must have been a baboon if evolution is right, because we were created in God's image and in his likeness. So therefore, if we evolved, God must have also evolved into a baboon. So explain that to me. So it could only have been the spirit. He opens to the very first page of Genesis and he starts reading the account of creation. Now you must understand that when you come against something, you are always ready to defend it if you think you are right. So here I'm standing and I am thinking, man, I'm gonna show you, boy. And he goes through the account of creation, and there I'm sitting and something tells me to shh. That's power. And I'm going, yeah. I can't say anything because that's right. And for the first time, and I've heard the account of creation many times, but that day, it made a lot of sense. And I understood that God wasn't a baboon. and we definitely don't come from, what do they call it? From what? No, not a big bang. That soup. Can you believe it? No, yeah, that's it. The amoeba or amoeba or some stupid cell or I don't know, whatever it is. Can you, huh? Crazy stuff. That's like, and then you guys are studying medicine and you guys call yourself scientists and all this. All that you need to do is pick up the word, man. Sheesh, today. Any case. I'm telling you, when the church of Jesus Christ becomes alive, there will be no more place for doctors. That's an amen. All right. I know you don't want to say amen because then you guys are going to be out of jobs. All right. But anyway, don't worry. You can come work for the church. Any case. So he proved me right in that one. So I said to him, all right, Mac, dinosaurs. Let's talk about dinosaurs. Oh, you see, you also think of all these things, eh? So I say, if you say prehistory, now just think of the word prehistory. Is the right word pre? Is it like a prefix? So there you've got a pre. So that means before history. That just doesn't make sense to me. So where's the history? It's prehistory, so I don't understand. So I said, if it's in prehistoric, it's like crazy stuff, prehistoric. It's before all time started and all these things. And I think to myself, I don't know. So I said, Mac, dinosaurs, explain this one to me. Where in the Bible does it say anything about dinosaurs? And he opens up to Job. And there he starts reading about two things that really sound like two dinosaurs. The one breathes fire and the other thing sounds like a big chomp hippo. And he explained this thing to me and I'm thinking to myself, I never knew that. I almost said hippos. I said, dinosaurs walked with Job on the face of this earth. I said, wow, that's amazing. And I was ready to counter it. And something said to me, shh. So I said, why? Because the truth will set you free. It's the truth of God that sets us free. Man, and I'm saying, and I said, okay, Mac. So it's not too zilch. And then I'm sitting and I'm saying to him, okay, Mac, this is now my final question. I said to him, you prove to me out of the Word of God, where does it say they drug use is wrong? Dun, 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 dun. I'm telling you, I'm like a lone ranger there, hoying my pistol, and I'm thinking, yeah, I got you. Not with God. And he opens his word. And he goes to a certain place and he starts reading. And there's a certain word by the name of sorcery. I'm sure you've all heard the word sorcery, haven't you? Now, when I listen to the word sorcery, or when I'm thinking about this witch, and I'm thinking about a broom, and I'm thinking about all these things, it ain't that. Sorcery, the Latin name for it is, or the Greek word name for it is, pharma. Now, you should know this. Who's studying medicine here? I told you, open the word of God, bud. Come work for the church. I promise you, you will be great doctors. All right. Don't put your hand up ever again if I ask you as a medical doctor. No, I'm just joking. Any case. So the word is pharma. And it's so amazing. What do we call our places that make our pills and the stuff? Pharmaceutical companies. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God hits me right between my eyes. And I'm wanting to counter it again. And I just say, shh. It's truth. And guys, I tell you, when Max said that, and I heard that, and I heard that the word brought truth into my situation, the Spirit of God just fell on me. I started crying. And in front of me were my parents. And on my left-hand side was Mac. And I started confessing my sin. And I'm crying. You know, the word says that through godly sorrow, or godly sorrow produces true repentance with no regret. But godly sorrow produces death. And I'll tell you, right at that time, this godly sorrow came over me. And that was why I was bawling. Have you ever been in the presence of the Lord? And you're like on your knees, or you're standing and you're just crying, and your brain's telling you, why are you crying? You say, I don't know. And then you say, you're stupid, you're silly. But you don't care. It's like a real deep spiritual cry. And yeah, I'm crying. And I'm confessing to my parents. And I'm saying, Mom, your designer ring, I stole it. Mom, the diamonds in that, I took it out, I went and I pawned it. Dad, all the money, all the thousands of bucks that I stole out of your safe, it was me. Yes, I was involved with gambling. Yes, I hated you. Yes, I was addicted to porn. Yes, it is drugs. Yes, it is all these things. I said, but please forgive me. Man, and I'm telling you, my parents looked upon me and they said to you, And they said to me, my boy, we forgive you. Now, there's not a lot of parents that will do that. Any case, after all of this, after I'm just feeling so liberated, Mac turns to me and he says to me, JJ, would you like to give your life to Jesus? And I said, yes. And he says, well, just pray this after me. And I repented. And I said I was sorry. And I invited the Holy Spirit into my life. And I'm telling you, from that day onwards, for that very moment, God set me free from all my addiction. I didn't come down anymore. I didn't crash. There was no craving. There was nothing. God set me free in a split second. And the reason why he put me free, more water. It was definitely the Cape water. The reason why God set me free is because there was a willingness in my heart. You see, Jesus did it for us 2,000 years ago. And that same power of what Jesus did, is the same power that we have today. But the Spirit of God is a gentleman. And he will never go against what? Or against our desires. The things that we wish for. But if we open up ourselves and we say, Lord, I'm going to do business with you. And I'm telling you, he's like my mom. Give him a gap. He's in there. And that's exactly what he did with me. And God set me free that day. 3 weeks later, Jacinta comes back, crying. Now, what I call is, I call this, and excuse me if this is a bit explicit for you ladies, but I call when I cry, and when people come under the, or when people when people cry, I call it trana snortum bubbles. Have you ever seen that? All right. There's always bubbles. There was a lot between me and her. And we loved each other so much, it was all over us. But it was good. It was good. And God restored my relationship with my wife. God restored my relationship with my mom and with my dad. And God restored my relationship with my family. So gracious. But it was a time. And this is for a different day. Because there's also a great testimony, a great preaching there. Or a sermon in there. And 3 weeks down the line, I walked up to Mac. The only thing that God did not heal me from was smoking. Couldn't understand this. Any case, I go up to Mac. But when I gave my life, or when I was regenerated and reborn, there's something in me saying to me, I want you to work for me. You're called. I want you to go and do great things and mighty things in my name. You know, I don't know if you guys have that. It's just something in you. Who's got that in you? And if you've got that in you, don't put your hand up. When you put your hand up, it's the wrong times. Okay. Now you can put your hand up, please. If you've got that thing, if you've got that burning in you, follow that. That's God. He's calling you to go and team up with him and come on mission with him. It's an amazing thing. Amazing thing. 3 weeks down the line, I go to Mac. I say, Mac, I don't know, man. I've got this burning thing in me. I said, I know that God is calling me. I know that he's got great things for me. But you know what? If I'm going to talk to people about how God set me free, and if I'm going to preach the power of the word of God, how am I going to be a witness when I say, God set you free of all addictions? Man, I just couldn't get that one right. I said, Mac, this is a crutch. I need to get rid of my crutch. And he said to me, well, let's pray. Trust me, and then 3 weeks prior to that, how God set me free, hey, I was all keen. I said, let's pray, Mac. And he said, well, I'm not going to pray. You pray. And I prayed. I said, Lord Jesus, I don't want to smoke because I want to live my life holy and righteous. I want to be a sweet-smelling sacrifice. I want to be the aroma to the people, to those who are being saved and those who are busy perishing for your name's sake. Man, and I'm telling you, boom, gone. God took that away. Amazing stuff. Sure. So God restored Jacinta, myself, my parents, and we're coming in for a landing, as they call it now. Because I can see you sleeping. It's all okay. So what happened was this. This is how the devil started attacking us. 3 months after I gave, 3 months, eh? 3 months after I gave my life. So is it 7? Are you sure? Because this is being recorded. Okay, it's 7. A godly number. Ah, 8 and 7. Did you hear that? I'm taking notes. Where's your paper? What's your name? Pardon?
Duma.
Duma. Oh yeah, your name's on the back of your shirt. Do you normally forget? Okay, so you forget your name. Okay, cool. But you know why it's on the back of his shirt? Have you checked the new walk? This was how these acts walk, isn't it? So you're reminding yourself the whole time. I feel it, bud. It's all good. Any case. Why are you guys laughing? It's not funny. Shame, man. Just come for prayer. No, I'm just joking. I'm joking. Any case. So 3 months. Take notes. So 7 months afterwards. I got hijacked. Now listen to this. I got hijacked. Now that's something, I don't know if you get it down here in Cape Town. If you do, I'm going back to Joburg. So there in Joburg, we get hijacked. Well, I get hijacked. I drove my dad's ML Merc. Okay, I'm not honoring your time anymore. Is it okay if I just end off? And then I'll end off and then I'll go into my preach for those who want to sit. No, I'm just joking. Because, man, there's so much I can share with you guys. But maybe that's for a different time, hey? Yeah, I think so too. You guys are more than welcome to say yes and no and tell me to sit and JoJo, shh, keep quiet. Is your bonus here, meneer? Wil jy langs my kom staan? Of moet ek daar by jou kom staan? Okay. So 3 months, 3 weeks, 7 weeks, 7 months down the line, I'll get hijacked. 5 more minutes, is that fine with you? 5 more. I know you guys need to go and study and all these things. Thank you. So, 3 months down the, 7 months down the line, I get hijacked outside of our house. Now you need to understand, I've just come through everything of the underground and the underworld and drugs and stuff. It's crazy stuff. Here this guy, 7 guys jump out of a bucky, surround the car, guns on me, and I put the car into reverse and I just reverse. And I squash one of the guys in the car behind me. And I get the car parallel into the road. And up comes this guy to where the Mercedes badge is. And he extends his arm and he pulls the trigger. And of course, I see the gunshot go off and I'm like. And I look at him. And I'm thinking, jeez, but the window's not broken. Did the guy really shoot me? And I'm like feeling, you know, like in the movies they say there's like a warmth feeling. Now you're waiting for the warmth feeling, okay? Okay, there's nothing. And I put the car into reverse and here I go. And I drive down. I'm like, what the heck's going on? Guys, God stopped that bullet. God literally stopped that bullet. How do we know that? That the guy just didn't misfire. It's because where you go and look where the Merc's badge is and you see how his arm was extended. When he shot, the bullet came out. Went parallel with the window and then went into an angle into the side column of the door. And that would have been a headshot. What a cold squirt. That bullet went zigzag. Missed me. God saved me again. Amazing. Crazy stuff. I'm telling you, the devil really wants to take us out. I'm telling you, the devil wants to take you and me out. Wants to take you out. He doesn't like you. Why? Because you are created in his image. Man, I love it how the Word of God says this to us. It says to us that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. Wonderfully and fearfully made. Crazy. You know, normally when I go and speak in drug rehabs, what I do is you take a doll or you take something and you say, do you know how you were created? And I say, wonderfully and fearfully, and I say, you know what? You were made out of dust. God put you on his hand, and he blew his life-giving breath into your nostrils. You know what he did? He called all the hosts of heaven and all the saints, and he said, boys, come here. Come have a look. For this one has been made uniquely. There's no one like him or her. This one has been made wonderfully and fearfully. And you know, I've got so many plans and so many great things for this one of my children ahead of their lives. Man, isn't that liberating? Absolutely it is. Any case, then 3 months after that, story doesn't stop. 3 months after that, we get held up in our house by 7 men. And we get tortured. We get tied up, guns in our heads and our mouths and our ears. We were said a lot, all sorts of things. Who's been tied up? Who's been held up here? No one. Thank you, Lord. And we were just held up and, man, we went through a lot of trauma, guys wanting to kill us, things going on. And We went through, about 3.5 hours of this. And we were on our knees praying. We were praying out loud. We were praying out loud. And these guys didn't know what to do. I couldn't do anything, because at that time, I was a little bit overweight. I'm still overweight, but a little bit bigger. They held me on the floor, my dad on the floor, and they said to me, shut up and keep quiet, all these things. And my wife being the pillar, she was orchestrating the guys. It's amazing when the spirit comes over a person. The guys who want to hurt you, you tell them, no, don't do this, do that. And they go do that, no, put that down, take this, and then they take that. It's amazing. Have you ever seen that? I've seen that, all right. But that's just how God works. In any case, so all this was happening. And I was lying on the floor, and I just finished the book of Job. And I was, I'm like lying there, and I'm saying, God, this can't be the end. You've just brought me through drugs. You've just brought me through this. You've just brought me through that. Now you've just saved me. 3 months prior to this, you've just saved me from a hijacking. Lord, you've stopped the bullet. How can this be the end? You've just restored my family. You've restored relationship. You've done all these things. And there I get a vision in my spirit. And I see this golden dome. And God says to me, JJ, just as I placed boundaries around Job, so I have placed boundaries for you. That anything, and then suddenly I saw a ditch, a trench around us. And on that side of the trench was wasteland. It was like dead, wasted stuff. Plundered. And God said to me, he says, anything on that side will be taken. But everything on this side, where this golden dome was, God said, will be saved. For you and your family will not be harmed. And I said, thank you, Lord. And right after I said, thank you, Lord, in comes this guy with the 9mm. And he walks straight up to my dad. And he puts a gun against my dad's head. And he tries pulling the trigger. And he can't pull the trigger. He gets frustrated, so he hits him. Puts the gun right here to my head. Tries and pulls the trigger. Can't pull the trigger. So he takes the bedside drawer. And he breaks it over my head. And gone. Out. Never saw them again. God is true. When he gives us his word that no evil will befall us, I tell you, we can stand faithfully and trust on his word. And to end off, a couple of months after that, the devil tried taking our oldest son. Him and we still don't know what happened today. But him and one of his friends drove, or they rided, or cycled on their bicycles. I don't know what the right English word is for it. Did they cycle? Okay. All right, they cycled. Okay. Listen, my son was like 3 or 4 years old, but he wasn't on a racer's bike. Okay. I'll trust you because you're a brother. Okay. So my son cycled. And he cycled on with one of his other friends. And suddenly Tristan runs into the house. And his whole forehead is swollen up. And he just says, Mommy. And I'm in gym. And Jacinta finds me and she says, you better come home. Your son ain't doing well. So I got home, this massive bump on his head. Took him through to the hospital, straight into ICU, straight into getting CAT scans and all these things. And he had 2 15-centimeter hairline cracks in his skull, right through one of them through his sinus cavity. Is that right, you medical guys? I'm just checking out. Don't answer me. Anybody else? Chickens. So he had 15 centimeter skull cracks, bleeding on the brain, under observation. 7 days. How many? Sorry, I'm just checking. Okay. Right. Pardon? 13 days. 13 days. But for the first 5-6 days, there was 24 hours where they actually had to look at him. We prayed over him, and the night nurse that looked after him was backslidden and in a lot of trouble. And like my lovely wife is, as you would get to know her, she's very outspoken. She calls herself the Mediterranean chili. It's not because she's hot or sexy. It's because she is a Mediterranean chili. So she was very vocal, and she said to this guy, "Hey, so who are you, or where do you come from?" And sooner or later, we found out that this guy's in a backslidden state. It's just amazing how God orchestrated this whole thing. Well, I won't say God, but all things work together to the good, to those who love God, isn't it? And that trauma situation brought this night nurse back into the kingdom of God. And a couple of days later, Tristan walks out of ICU. So I thought I would come this evening and I would just come and share my testimony so that you guys understand who I am, all right, and who my wife is. You haven't heard her testimony. I think she is the powerhouse behind everything, because without her and without my parents, I would not be standing here. And it's normally us who should actually sit down, and we should actually ask the true heroes, if I can call them that, to stand up and come and give their testimonies, because it's them who prayed me into the kingdom of God. There's much prayer, a lot of tears, and a lot of hurt that has come through this. And this evening, I just thought, let me come and share with you guys the goodness of God in our lives, that He is faithful and that He is true, and that, you know, and that whatever a person is involved in, and wherever you have been, and whatever you are doing at this point of time, you know, all that you need to do at the end of the day is turn to Jesus. Irrespective if you are a reborn Christian and you are busy with all sorts of nonsense, all that God says is come to me and repent. You know, the word repentance means is to turn away from your sin and do not do it anymore. That's so easy. It's so easy. And I don't know if any of you are not reborn, and if you haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, I'm a walking testimony that God does save, and God is still in that business. And I want to tell you this evening is that the Lord is just waiting for you. And it's not something that it's something gentle, if I can put it to you that way. It's something liberating. It's lovely to give your life to the King who gave it all for you. And if you are here, and if what I've shared with you, if that has touched your heart, and if you want to do it, I'm sure that, like Ross has said, you know, afterwards we would love to minister to you. We would love to introduce you to the King of Glory. And if there's any of you here who are backslidden and you just don't know how to come back to the Lord, man, we will love to minister to you too, and just to hold your hand, and you know, just to bring you through this. And guys, and that's us, that's me, that's my wife, that is our story. And to God be all the glory. Well, that rhymed. And I can compose. But I just want to say to you guys, thank you for the opportunity. I definitely didn't get to my preach. Definitely not. And but what I want you guys to do is I want you guys to go and read number 17. From verse 1, please make notes and go and read it, because I'm going to test you next week. From verse 1 to 13, and then you go and read John 15. Pardon? Numbers 17? Numbers? Yeah, it's called the Bible. Ross, you have a problem? This is the book, the Bible. Numbers. Numeri. 17, 1 to 13. Okay? All right. Yesterday. No, I'm just joking. And then John. Yeah, I think it's Johannes. Nee, nie 14, nie 15. Okay. That about abiding in the vine. If you go and read it, speaks about, number 17 speaks about Aaron's rod blossoming. Go read it. And then as it blossoms, it produces something. And then you go read John 15. But that's for a different day. That's for a different day. Can I pray for us? Awesome. Father, we want to say thank you for Jesus. Father, thank you for the platform that you have created here this evening, Lord, where we could just share your goodness and your glory. Where we can just share, Lord, the story of salvation. Where we can speak about your goodness that leads all men unto repentance. Holy Spirit, you know our hearts here this evening. And I ask of you, precious Spirit of the living God, that you will come and circumcise. I pray, Holy Spirit, in the areas of our lives where we are kept in bondage or in captivity or imprisoned, that you will come this evening and that you will break it free. Father, I know that a lot of us here this evening know of people who are stuck in some sort of problem, addiction, abuse, whatever, Lord, in their lives. And I pray that you will fill each and every one of these beautiful people with boldness, Lord, to go and declare the freedom of Jesus Christ, to go and pray with their friends, with their family, with people under trees, with people under bridges. Lord, so that the people that do not yet know you can walk freely into your kingdom. So Lord, this evening do we just say thank you for your presence. We say thank you for your love. We say thank you for your grace. And we say thank you for your mercy. And my prayer, Lord, for each and every one here is that your face will continually to shine on them, that you will be gracious to them. Lord, that you will lift up your countenance towards them. And Lord, that they will dwell daily in your presence and experience your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.